The reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, the healing of a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the Gospel of Christ.
It's never a good idea to let the vicar say a few words before a service, because they tend then to take the start of your talk. But never mind. And we'll still carry on with the start of my talk, because I can't change it. So, a lot's happened in the last week, and I'm not sure if you can keep up with it, because I'm struggling. A lot to process, and at first glance, the reading seems totally irrelevant. And perhaps we could try something else, as we said. But trust me, I was tempted, because this is not an easy passage. And I think you'll get in the message, this is not an easy passage. But even before this, when I mentioned I was preaching on this, it's like, this is not an easy passage. It's got a lot in it. So, here we go. We can't actually leave it out. The passage builds from other talks in the last few weeks, and it's building up the recognition of Jesus as the authority from God. To miss this talk today would mean missing being challenged to go outside our comfort zone. We would just be left with Jesus in the boat with us, just as we're starting to trust him. But actually, we're asked to do more than that. We are to get out of the boat and explore what is on the other side of the shore. So today we have Jesus, demons, and pigs, and it gets difficult from the start. And different writers have their view of this passage, especially the use of demons. And if we mention demons, many images come to mind. In some cultures, it's quite normal. And you might like to know deliverance ministry is something we have training on, not to do it ourselves, but to know who to refer it to. We can talk about inner demons, the demons of drink and drugs taking over us, and other things. It can also be talked about as a spiritual disease. In the reading, it's an impure spirit. One writer notes that Gerasa was the site of a brutal massacre with scenes of burning cities and death. The man's name was Legion, which is the name of a first century Roman army. The army had as their symbol the boar, and that is B-O-A-R. Just so you know, not what a sermon is. It is suggested that the story symbolises the Roman army taking over the area and the people are living under their authority. What follows is said to symbolise Jesus' ongoing confrontation with the forces of the Roman Empire, authority and culture. And Jesus has come back to claim his authority and their allegiance to him and to heal anything that binds them to another culture. So for this reason, it was not an easy place to visit. The place was, to Jews, a foreign territory with Greek culture and Greek cities. Jews thought of tombs as the dwelling place of demons and considered them unclean. The presence of pigs also made it unclean, as they were unclean in their eyes. So it's clear this was not a comfortable place for the Jews to visit. In the reading it says it was opposite Galilee. This could also mean spiritually as well as geographically, and it's the only account of Jesus visiting Gentile territory. So whatever that we make of the story and the symbolism, the bigger picture here is that Jesus is exerting his authority. It is a battle between Jesus and forces that are opposed to his teachings and challenge his authority over us. And he's seeking out and challenging us as to where our allegiance lies, where we take our authority from, to ask what chains bind each one of us, stifling freedom in him. Today, we are still living in an alien culture, with the way our political, ethical, financial systems have been set up, the inequality that still exists, the lack of acknowledgement of his authority in our lives that allows things that are not of God into our lives. In the story, the man has been put physically in chains and guarded, but he had managed to break free from the physical chains, but it is a false freedom. His situation has not changed. He has the same issues and not able to go into the town, but continue to live on the margins. He has a type of freedom as he's isolated from the elements of society that harmed him and had a hold of him. Excuse me, I need a drink. He is free from living in the way other people think he should live, and he's free from the cultural norms, but he's still imprisoned inside. As I say, it is a false freedom. He has exchanged one prison for another. Yet you will notice, though, that this man was the only one who recognised Jesus. "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He recognised Jesus and his authority. Over the last few weeks, we've been building up to this point through Luke's Gospel, and we're seeing a progression towards recognising Jesus and his authority. The first was on the shore. Jesus is teaching those around him. In fact, there are many stories of Jesus teaching in every area he went. People were mostly enthralled with what he had to tell them. They wanted to be with him and near him. There is something about him that is drawing them. The second is taking another step for those who had been listening to go with him in a boat. Here they started to recognise Jesus' authority, the calming of the storm, illustrated so brilliantly last week by Junction 7. The disciples felt that when the storm came, it's one thing to hear the stories about not worrying when on the shore, it's a different matter when you're in the boat in a storm. Jesus showing his authority over the wind and waves. Who is it that even the winds and water obey him? The next step to learning to trust him and his authority. The third, as in this scene, is getting out of the boat. And as we can see, the fear factor has been notched up considerably. Who will trust his authority over something that seems to have taken such a hold on another person and them and us? Just take a moment and I wonder where you think you are at the moment. Are you on the shore listening to his stories? Are you in the boat wondering who he is? Or have you stepped out of the boat and made a promise to follow Jesus into areas that are uncomfortable, outside your normal experiences, into an unknown area that is a source of fear for you? Be assured, it doesn't happen all at once. There is no judgment on where you are. The one thing you might like to ask, though, is, are you building your trust in Jesus? Are you ready to take the next step, to move on in your faith? Are you prepared to allow the chains that bind you, that stop you doing this, to fall off, for your heart to be free and to follow him, as the song in Amazing Grace so brilliantly puts it? Following Jesus. So whilst being on the shore is definitely staying comfortable, getting into the boat can still be within our comfort zone. Jesus is there to calm the storms and bring peace, after all. Getting out the boat takes trust to another level. But this is what he calls us to do. He doesn't want us to conform to what others want. He's here to turn things upside down, to challenge the cultures in which we live. And not everyone will get it or hear it. At the end of the story, which is rich with symbolism, we see that no one is getting what they want. The townspeople are unmoved. They still have a fear and suspicion. People that do not fit in with them, even after the man was healed. They return to their old ways. They have seen Jesus' authority and rejected it. To them, it's not an act of grace, but a threat to their authority. The impure spirits were afraid of going into the abyss and chose the pigs instead and were drowned. But this was at a cost to the society, especially the herdsmen. They'd lost their livelihood. Saving someone, releasing and healing them can be costly to a community. They have to change to accept someone they rejected, to lose their own way of living, to change to accommodate someone who is not fully trusted or wanted by them. The man can't go back into the town, back amongst the people there. The whole thing seems a mess. However, you will notice that a preacher emerges from this, not from a position of power or status, he has none, but from vulnerability, who is poor, damaged, rejected. These are the people to look out for, those who are outside of their comfort zone, uncomfortable, having been known by others as they truly are. This man had been at his lowest without clothes or house, but had recognised Jesus and been healed by him. He is then commanded to go and tell others of how much Jesus had done for them. He was able to speak from his weakness, not his strength. He was who he is meant to be, an authentic disciple. Church can be messy and vulnerable. It can be costly for us to love others that we would not normally associate with. We are here to welcome all and hear their story, their vulnerabilities, who they are, and not to reject them. And it's easy to exclude, whether making it difficult for someone to come in, a look in their direction, just not including them in conversations. To find these people, we need to look around and see who is not here, who was here but is no longer, who we may unknowingly have sent away, or made it a place where they could not fit in and be truly themselves. Now, that's not to say some people will choose to go, and that's fine too. But where there are empty places, the people have a voice that have been silenced, who are on the outside, but have recognised Jesus' authority and then not been welcomed in. And this is the church globally as well as here. And I also say this as a church where welcome is great, but have we done enough? It will come at a cost spiritually and discipleship-wise as we seek to open up our lives to welcome those on the margins, but we will be doing the right thing. We are called to be different, to lead a different life and lifestyle. Jesus challenges our allegiance to him, even if it's difficult for us to do, to challenge and confront societal and cultural norms, to fully accept his authority, and then for him to claim us fully back to him. This week, we lost and have remembered here today two people known to us, the Queen and David. And I sense his humour may be tickled being mentioned in the same breath as the Queen. I was waiting for his laughter. Both made it clear where their allegiance was. They recognised God's authority in their lives. Both in their different ways have given us an example to follow of what it means to trust in Jesus and his teaching. They have done this with great humility and from their weakness as well as their strength. Both made a conscious choice to get out of the boat. Both have attested to his loving care and guidance for them, and were willing to go outside their comfort zones into a life of service in Christ. And we celebrate that. They are not the only ones that I've done this, and I'm sure we can think of different people who in some way paved the way for us to see what it meant to follow Jesus. There's a popular Christian book title that says, "If you want to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat." It's well worth reading. You need to keep moving and building your trust in God. The song, "And Can It Be?", celebrates personal salvation through death and resurrection of Jesus and speaks into this story. The words may be old, but the meaning is still there. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. My eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, should die for me?" Shortly, we're going to come together to share bread and wine. And we will remember that Jesus died for us and why he came to save us. I'm just going to say a little bit of the prayer in the communion so that when you come forward for communion, you can have these words in your heart. So I say, you made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. So how can we do this? We will pray for our Father to send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and clothe us with power from on high. And finally, we will ask for him to pour his Spirit on us, that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus. He is a God of disturbing his people, and communion is a place of him disturbing us, reminding him of his grace and moving us on as we build trust in him. Amen.